Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to Jump In the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and luckily for me, I've got Matt Neely behind the glass. Is continue to keep working this and trying to make it a better show for you and for us. The purpose of the Engagement Hour is to encourage you to get involved. Why? Well, we've got to remember, we are a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. And with that comes some rights and some responsibilities. And that's what I'm going to take and focus this first half hour or this first 15 minutes on. I'm going to be pleased to be joined by Mayor Joe Winfield after we go to the first break to have more of a discussion of both getting involved and what are the issues and how us as citizens can also help frame those issues. But first, what I want to share with you about is a 21-minute Uber ride I had recently. I was up in Washington visiting my daughter, her family, and my 2-year-old granddaughter, which is a life-changing experience. But on my Uber ride from their house to the airport to return to Tucson, my Uber driver was a gentleman named Lamon. And Lamon had a pretty heavy accent, and we were just making small talk at first. He has family that he just returned visiting from in Wyoming. And finally, I asked, I said, well, Lamon, you probably immigrated to this country. Where did you come from? And he came from the country of Gambia. And if you're aware of what the Republic of Gambia is, it's a small, and I mean small, country in West Africa. It's completely surrounded by the country of Senegal, and it effectively just is around the Gambia River. Now, the entire country is 4,400 square miles. Compare that to Arizona, and we're 114,000 square miles. They've got a total population of 2,500,000 people. So I asked him what brought him here to the United States. Well, 28 years ago, he was doing work on voter turnout, getting people to come in their election. They'd become effectively a democracy in about 1965. And then this was back in about 1994. The election occurred, and shortly thereafter, there was an armed, bloodless coup. And Lieutenant Jemaya Jammeh, the chairman of the Provisional Ruling Council who took over, became the head of state. He was all of 29 years old, and he was the ruler for the next 22 years. But that's not that important to the story of why Lamon left. Now, it was because at that point, after being so heavily involved in the democratic society that they had developed and they were going forward, he felt the need to get out. He did not know when it would return to a democracy. So he immigrated to the United States. As he told me his story, lived in New York City for a while, then he moved to Wyoming, and that's where he really raised most of his family, and then he came to Washington. I finally asked him, so have you become a citizen? And his answer was, yes, I have. 15 years ago, I became an American citizen. And at that point, he started to talk to me about why it was so important for him to become a citizen, why he wants to be involved, why he votes, never, ever, ever misses a vote, why he stays informed, why he believes, having seen other parts of the world, that this still is the best country for opportunity, and therefore you have to be an active citizen. And that made me go back to remind myself of why I want to focus so much, and every guest that we have on the show, we ask them, why did they get involved? I'm going to spend some time today with Mayor Winfield, not just talking about his journey, not just talking about Oro Valley, but also talking from his experience and his background, particularly his association with the Boy Scouts of America, why it is important for us to understand what our civic rights and responsibilities are. And with that, we'll go to a break. You're listening to KVOI 1030, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson, The Engagement Hour. It's always good to have the boss, Bruce Springsteen, lead us into the next segment. So I'm honored at this time to welcome my mayor, also Christy Simone's mayor, Joe Winfield from Oro Valley. So Mayor Winfield, appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Ted. It's really a pleasure to be able to join you. I'm grateful for the invitation and look forward to our conversation with you and your listeners this morning.
Well, hopefully we'll both feel the same way after this. I don't think we're going to get on anything too controversial, but I do know you've got a big birthday coming up.
That's right. This year, 2024, we're celebrating Oro Valley's 50th anniversary. The town was incorporated April 1974, and we have a variety of activities planned this year in celebration of that important event in Oro Valley's history. So I'd like to take a few moments and just share with your listeners some of the programs and events that are coming up to celebrate this important...
Absolutely, Mayor. The mic is yours.
Okay. You know, we're, of course, working with a variety of partners, and the Oro Valley Historical Society have hosted panels that began in January. It's the second Tuesday of each month at 2 p.m. at the Oro Valley Library. March 11th, they'll have former Mayor Paul Loomis, Mayor Satish Hiermath, and myself that will participate in a panel for about an hour. And Jim Williams moderates that. Again, that's March 11th, 2 p.m. at the Oro Valley Library. April 6th, we'll have a parade that will begin at 9 a.m. from the Ironwood Ridge High School. It will go east on Naranja and then to the Oro Valley Library. You can go to orovalleyaz.gov. We encourage folks to join us for the parade. There's going to be some floats and community groups and schools joining us. There's a simple form that you fill out. And I encourage folks to join us on April 6th, either being a part of the parade or as spectators, but it promises to be a wonderful event for that to celebrate Oro Valley. We also, on April 13th, we have another 50th anniversary, a community celebration. It'll be at James D. Cree Park from noon until 9:30. It'll culminate with fireworks that evening. But there'll be a stage. We're inviting, again, performers to participate, whether that's dancing or music or other programming that they would like to do. So there'll be that performance stage and a variety of activities, of course, food trucks and crafts and jumping castles and those kinds of things. It'll be a wonderful day. In addition, we're hoping towards the end of the month, maybe April 20th is tentative, but to have a ribbon cutting for Naranja Park. You may be aware, and some of your listeners, that we've made some major investments to Naranja, a new splash pad, multipurpose field, a bike pump track, pickleball courts, a skate park, and we hope to be completed with those amenities and to celebrate that April 20th. So that there's a handful of things. There's always other programming that's happening in Oro Valley. And again, I encourage your listeners to go to orovalleyaz.gov. We have a calendar that lists these events and others to help them keep informed.
It's hard to believe, first off, that it's been 50 years since Oro Valley's been an incorporated city. A lot of change. What you just talked about, Mayor, was a lot of what I would call family-oriented events. And it's, for a while, Oro Valley was that sleepy retirement community. And we've seen families grow. It's changed what the issues that the mayor and council have to deal with. But it truly has now become more of a family community.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Ted. I think in a sense, I think there may have been that reputation of being a retirement community. There's always been an important, I think, mix of both families and seniors. We moved to Oro Valley almost 30 years ago, and so we've seen significant changes. What drew us to Oro Valley were the schools. Of course, the beautiful mountain views, the close-to-home recreation opportunities. I think that's been true for a lot of individuals. Of course, other things have brought people to Oro Valley, but you're right. There's been significant changes. When the town was first incorporated, it was a few square miles, I think about 1,500 people. Today, we're 36 square miles. We're closing in on 50,000 people, and we'll continue to grow and be a vibrant community.
Well, as with all things in a growing community, one of the issues that continues to come up time and time and again is the proper balance of managing that growth. We had a caller in the last couple minutes. I was on with Chris on Wake Up Tucson this morning who said it's everything that we're doing is just about sprawl and more growth. And I don't think that's true. I think it can be done. Can you talk about how you and your counselor are kind of addressing both the need for growth and economic development, but at the same time preserving what it is that we all love about Oro Valley?
Yeah, clear. So what really drives a lot of what the council does, and I've been fortunate to have been involved with two of our previous general plans. Right now, we're coming to almost the end of our 2016 general plan. It will sunset in 2026. We've already begun a new planning process for our 2026 general plan. It's OV Path Forward, and I encourage folks to go to ovpathforward.com. We currently have a survey that we're asking our residents and business owners to fill out. That's available at the website. It was also circulated through our water bills. So you may have received that with your water bill, a survey. But you know, really what I like to think of in terms of local government, Ted, is that there's really four pillars to local government: public safety, public works, parks and recreation, and land use. And when I think local government stays focused on those core values or purposes of local government, it's really a formula for success in terms of economic development, in terms of balanced growth. Because by creating a community where people feel safe and secure, by providing infrastructure that makes for a good experience in terms of circulation and driving through the community, having parks and recreation that offer programs and amenities that people of all ages can enjoy, and then balancing land use in terms of, so for example, knowing what your community, what their expectations are. And our community has a high regard for home ownership. So consequently, you see in Oro Valley a strong a housing industry in terms of single family residences and other housing options for folks. So we try to balance that, but it's also really a reflection of our residents, of their values, of their vision. Often people ask me what my vision is for Oro Valley, and I say, well, really a better question is what are the residents of Oro Valley's vision for their community? I really believe that it's elected officials' responsibility to know what it is that their community wants and then to work hard to make that happen.
Well, that just ruins my next question, because I was going to ask you what you thought the future would look like in Oro Valley and what your vision for the community was. But I'm going to take it a little different direction. What is the one thing or the one issue that does keep you up at night or makes you think that we've got to address or is most concerning to the citizens that we need to have maybe a little bit larger discussion, or how the citizens can get involved in those discussions as well?
You know, that probably has changed. I'm in my second term, sixth year as serving as mayor. I think if there is one thing that certainly keeps me awake at night, it's really the safety and security of the men and women who protect us each and every day. We have an incredible police department that's led by Chief Kara Riley. We have 106, maybe plus, commissioned officers. These men and women literally put their lives on the line each and every day for us. And their safety, their well-being is really paramount for me, and I believe the council. I'm grateful that Chief Riley has really put a focus on officer wellness. You may or may not know, Ted, but there are more officers that die from suicide than that than die in carrying out their duties as officers. So emotional and mental wellness is really critical. And I have to admit, anytime I see someone pulled over, my first thought goes to that officer. And so I really appreciate that this is a priority for Kara Riley, because I believe that one of the most important things we can do is just to support these good men and women who, again, do everything that they can to protect us. And it makes a huge difference for our community.
Well, Mayor, I'd like to compliment the support that our men and women who serve the town of Oro Valley receive from the mayor and council. There's no doubt. I do serve on Chief Riley's advisory council.
Wonderful.
So I'm aware of the support she's getting and the keeping our technologies, the things that help the officers both defend and protect the men and women of Oro Valley and their families, but also take care of themselves to ensure that they're not going to be in a position where they are having to put themselves more at risk in order to do that. So I think if that's your big worry, you're doing a nice job handling it, because I think one of the things Oro Valley's got a strong reputation for is the public safety piece of our community, where there's no shortage, and their presence is there to help as well. We still got a couple minutes, and you kind of led into you got something you'd like to add, Mayor?
I might. Well, I would add another, of course, is water, water quality, water quantity. It's certainly a concern. I wouldn't say that it necessarily keeps me up at night. We have a great water utility led by Peter Abraham. Oro Valley is in a good place. And this is a result of not just this council, but previous councils. We use less groundwater today than we did 10 years ago. We have three water sources, of course, groundwater, and preserving our aquifer is the number one priority as it relates to water. But we also have an allotment of Central Arizona Project or Colorado River Water. We have reclaimed water. We use about 2,000 acre feet. Most of that is used on our golf courses, not only the towns, but other golf courses in Oro Valley, our sports fields at Naranja Park and a few of the schools. But nevertheless, water is a huge issue, and we have to be smart. We have to be looking to the future to ensure that we not only have a water supply today, but going forward, not just for 100 years, but I'd like to think 500 years into the future, if not 1,000 years into the future.
And Mayor, I think it's a great sign that we don't talk about enough. 10 years ago, you used more groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the discussion, the focus, the technology, the advances, we're now in a situation that Oro Valley is using less.
Yep.
50 years ago, we used less water now, or the same water now in Arizona. It can debate whether one is for our entire population. And we have grown significantly.
Yeah.
We keep water at the forefront, and I think we'll always make sure we address that.
Yeah.
So I'm Ted Maxwell. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, and I've got Mayor Joe Winfield, my guest, and he'll be with me on the backside as well. We'll be back. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the engagement hour. Thank you, Matt, as always, for blending us in nice and easily. I have Mayor Joe Winfield, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, with me today. And as I do with all my guests, is I always want to talk about why service and what you do. And so I want to give you a little more detail on Mayor Winfield's background first. Mayor Winfield received his bachelor's degree from the University of Arizona, Bear Down, and he's went on to have a long and successful career with both the National Park Service and the U.S. Forest Service. We talk a lot about different ways you can serve and give back as part of your civic duties and responsibilities to the country. And obviously, having a career in the National Park Service and the Forest Service is that type of public service that sometimes people overlook. Another side of Mayor Winfield is he's been very active in the Boy Scouts of America. He is an Eagle Scout. And his six sons are also Eagle Scouts. So he believes in the mission of the Boy Scouts and has lived by a lot of what he learned as a scout and what he's passed on to his kids. He does his family. He's got 7 children and 17 grandchildren. And I'm really excited and jumping up and down about my one grandchild. I'm not sure that we'll ever get to 17, but that's got to be a huge, huge blessing in your life. So Mayor, if you could just kind of tell us about both your service as your part of your career and ultimately why did you decide to take the step into public elected office?
Thanks, Ted. Yeah, I would love to visit with you about that. I do want to add that my son-in-law is also an Eagle Scout in addition to our 6 sons.
That was probably a prereq to enter the family, but that's outstanding.
So scouting has been incredibly important in my life. I grew up in a single-parent home from the time of my birth, and I say that scouting was my ticket to the outdoors. I had some wonderful scout leaders, mentors, Wayne Krebs, my first scoutmaster, Del Despain, just wonderful men. And scouting really provided for me some structure and also values. So for example, the scout oath begins, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country. So, you know, when you repeat that oath, and not only that, but scouting provides you for an avenue to serve your country. The scout slogan is do a good turn daily. So you couple those two things, to do your duty to country, to do a good turn. There's merit badges, citizenship in the community, citizenship in the nation that, again, help to immerse you in your community. Scouting is very much a service-oriented organization. And so with each advancement in rank, there's a service component that culminates with your Eagle Scout project. My project was involved replacing some trees that had died because of frost, an unusual cold winter. I grew up in Tempe, and so I worked with a landscape architect who helped me to select trees, taught me how to plant trees, care for some that had frozen that were still alive that needed some additional care and nurturing. As a result of that, working with that landscape architect, that's what introduced me to the profession of landscape architecture. And so at a very young age, I was 13 when I earned my Eagle rank. Even at that time, I wanted to pursue a career in landscape architecture, and ultimately, you know, did that and graduated from the U of A with a degree in landscape architecture, was hired by the National Park Service as a landscape architect. At the time, they were the largest employer of landscape architects. In addition to that experience, I do want to add that when I went to McClintock High School, I had a government class my senior year, and my teacher happened to be Harry Mitchell, which may not mean anything to your listeners, but he served on the Tempe Town Council, later became the mayor of Tempe, and then also served as a congressman. So Mr. Mitchell was a real positive influence as well. He encouraged us to get involved with the campaign. He said, you know, of course, he didn't care what party, but to get involved with the campaign. He required us, admittedly, to come to some of the Tempe Council meetings. But that introduction into local government certainly was a positive influence. And then my career with the National Park Service and to a degree with the Forest Service, which was just the few years, the latter part of my career, I had the opportunity to kind of rub shoulders with elected officials at all levels of government, local, county, state, federal. And from that experience, what I came away from, Ted, is that these were people that were just exactly that. Sometimes we put elected officials on a pedestal. But what I discovered is that they were just people like you and I, and you know, wanted to serve their community, wanted to make a difference. And so I think that kind of interaction that I've had with elected officials over the course of my life, of course, that foundation of scouting, being a good citizen, being an involved citizen. Ultimately, all of those things led me to have a desire to serve my community. And, I was fortunate enough in 2018 to be elected as mayor of Oro Valley. It was my first experience in politics, if you want to call it. I don't really see myself as a politician. I see myself more as somebody that just wants to serve and help my community. And of course, I believe that I brought some skills and talents that would, I thought, be beneficial to my town. And so that's kind of the genesis of what led me to run for office.
Well, I've definitely got some questions running through my brain. First off, have you ever gone back to Tempe and seen the state of the trees that you replanted?
I have. You know, that's one of the fun things. They were carob trees, so that's what was selected. Some of the trees that I replaced with a different variety because a carob can be a little vulnerable to frost. And one of the things that Jim Wheat was the landscape architect. He had a nursery in Tempe. He explained to me that carob was not a good choice. Our church didn't make a good choice. But nevertheless, they have remained. It has been fun to go back and see those mature trees, 40 years later.
We won't make you put exactly how many years that the years was down on that. And I appreciated you filling in a little bit more about your time with the Forest Service, or with the National Park Service, mm-hmm. Sorry, when you got to interact with elected officials. I think often when we talk about people getting involved, I mean, one of the things that no matter where you search, what are our civic duties and responsibilities, you'll almost always see being an active community member. And the number of citizens that enjoy our national parks is just amazing. But if it wasn't for the people that work in those positions, we wouldn't have them, at least not in the shape they are or the accessibility. So what would you pass on to somebody who's coming out of high school or coming out of college? They know they're an outdoor person. Yeah. What are the opportunities to go have a career like that?
Well, there certainly are opportunities. And I appreciate that question because I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I was married, had one child, another one on the way. I had we had just bought our first home. I had my own business, which was a landscape maintenance design. And I went to school. I could see that door was closing. So I came home one day from work, told my wife, I've got to make a commitment to go to school. We sold most of our business, moved to Tucson from Mesa. And so I really had the intention of just going back to work for myself, having my own business. I had this vision of having kind of a design build type of landscape business. But school, which did what school is supposed to do, it broadened my understanding and vision for what the profession of landscape architecture was. I did an internship with the Forest Service. I had a similar opportunity with the National Park Service. I loved it introduced me to public practice. It really called to me personally. I also loved the larger landscapes. I loved the mission of both the National Park Service and the Forest Service. And it really was a wonderful career. It provided me with some just experiences that I would have never have had, and an opportunity to serve, in a sense, my country that I would also not have had I not taken that path to public service. So just one quick example, one of my early projects was at Martin Luther King National Historic Site. I did a design across from where Dr. King's tomb is, built a model and presented that to Mrs. King at the time. To Coretta Scott King, and I don't know that I fully appreciated it because I was, in my late 20s. It was an early project, but it was just such a wonderful experience. She was just a grand lady. It was like talking to my mom. But, the National Park Service really provided for me just a wonderful opportunity. I have just great admiration for the folks that work in the National Park Service and for other public agencies. I know many times public servants get a little bit of a criticized or a bit of a knock, but I'm going to say that some of the finest people I've had the opportunity to work with are individuals that work in local, state, and federal government.
And that is well said, Mayor, and I will leave it there. I think it's important for people to know there are lots of different opportunities to serve the public, and they are very, very rewarding. So that was Mayor Joe Winfield, who's my guest today on Jump in Tucson, and we're going to take a break at this time, and we'll see you in about 2 minutes. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. With me today is Mayor Joe Winfield, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, my hometown. Mayor Winfield, great conversation at this point, but I guess it's time for us to get into some issues and maybe have some of the conversations of some of the more difficult things that you do as an elected official. And we probably should start with the Regional Transportation Authority. There was a recent memo put out by the city manager, Mike Ortega, that showed the money that the city of Tucson brings in from the RTA. But a lot of people took this memo, which I didn't take quite as much as it. Oh, here's just another example of the city trying to leave the RTA. Pima Association of Governments, Regional Transportation Authority, there's 9 members. And we, I think, do a good job of trying to keep everybody around the table and reach consensus, if not unanimous votes, the majority of the time. What are your thoughts right now on what we're facing with the RTA and what are the challenges?
I think it's really important, Ted, first of all, to reflect and look at what RTA has accomplished since 2006, which is incredibly remarkable when you look at the list of corridor improvements, as you look at the safety improvements, as you look at the additional bike lanes, multi-use paths, when you look at that in its entirety, it has just simply improved our quality of life as it relates to transportation. And not only that, but also just the economic vitality of our region. And, of course, we've grown over those 20 years, but because of the vision that the community had 20 years ago, I believe that we have less congestion today than what we would have had, because that growth would have occurred regardless. So there is less congestion. There is improved safety. There is a greater opportunity for multimodal transportation. There was a time, you know, for most of my career, I worked downtown, lived in Oro Valley. We have about 13,000 of our residents who every day leave Oro Valley to go to their employment. We have about 8,000 people that come into Oro Valley each day because that's where they work. And so the regional transportation network is really, you know, critical so that we all can go to where we need to be. Just as I came to your radio station today, I didn't think as I'm driving these roads, and I don't think most people do, okay, well, now I'm driving an Oro Valley road, now I'm into incorporated Pima County, now I'm city of Tucson, now I'm on the interstate. You know, we just don't think in those terms. We just think in terms of getting from A to B and getting there in the you know, best way that we can. And so that's really the power, I think, of the Regional Transportation Authority, is having that regional vision. And of course, working together, because this interconnectivity of our highway system, our road system, it's just a natural for us to work collaboratively, cooperatively, with the understanding that we all have a stake in this. And I think that you know, if we're looking at a ledger, did I get my fair share? I think that is a mistake. I think you have to look at it holistically is our region better off because of what we've done to work together to improve transportation?
And Mayor, what I liked that you pointed out there is, yes, you've got 13,000 roughly. I do. I drive to the city of Tucson every day. Mm-hmm. That's where my office is at the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. You have 13,000 folks that head that direction. But you've got 8,000 that are not living in Oro Valley, right, that are coming into Oro Valley and working. So it's not only the network of roads. In some cases, it is some of the network for the transit, because it's all part of a single system. And I think that's what we miss sometimes, and it is critical. How, as your vision of what your role as mayor is, how do you balance what your citizens are telling you they need and what you see is necessary to keep this regional network alive as well?
Well, I think that, you know what, of course, for the residents of Oro Valley, it's important that they have access, that they can easily drive throughout the region. I think I was eating at the La Hacienda recently and talking to—
Great restaurant, by the way.
Great restaurant. Talking to the waitress, you know, I like to talk to people. And I asked, Where she lived. She lived in Sarita.
Oh, my.
Lived in Sarita, drives to Oro Valley. And I said, well, why do you do that? Well, she likes her job. She likes the people she's working for. But I think it illustrates just the importance of providing, again, that transportation network that so that people can go to the places that they— you know, where they want to be.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think that we just have a responsibility. And I didn't mention transit, but transit is an important component of RTA. It certainly enhanced—
Oh, absolutely.
The mass transit opportunities. For a period of time, I biked and bused to work from my home in Oro Valley to downtown. And it's important to our community to have good roads, excuse me, and to be able to get to the places that they need to be. And clearly that is, you know, everywhere throughout the region.
You know, Mayor, I think I'm now going to encourage that our next RTA meetings, that all mayors, when they go to either a restaurant or locale, ask the folks who are serving them and who are helping them where they're from. Because the number of people who cross over the town and city boundaries every day. It is significant. So I think that's the message we've got to keep focusing on at the RTA. And with your help and all the mayor's support, I think we can still get this RTA across the finish line. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, Town of Oro Valley is fully committed.
All right, Mayor. I appreciate it. And glad you can see the clock as well as I can. You've been listening to Jump In Tucson, the Engagement Hour, with Matt Neely behind the glass. And Mayor Joan Winfield is my guest. I look forward to seeing you next week.